Our scripture reading is Proverbs 8, 1 through 4, and then 22 through 31. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? At the highest point along the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gate leading into the city, at the entrance, she cries aloud. To you, O people, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. Then 22 through 31. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works before his deeds of old. I was formed long ages ago at the very beginning when the world came to be. When there were no watery depths, I was given birth. When there were no springs overflowing with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the world or its fields or any of the dust of the earth, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep. When he gave the sea its boundary, so the waters could not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was constantly at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world, and delighting in mankind. The word of the Lord.
Psalm 8. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim in the paths of the sea. Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. You draw us into mystery. You draw us into your song and grace. Bless us on this day, O Lord, as we consider the wonders of creation, the wonders of your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. When you look up at the stars at night, you begin to wonder. You begin to watch and you begin to wait. You wonder at the immensity of deep space. You watch for the most distant star twinkling divine radiance, that energetic love. You wait. You wait patiently hoping for a meteor, a falling star to fall from the sky. On those nights when we look at the stars, you begin to see the beauty of life, this complexity of life. It seems so simple and yet so complex. When we look at the stars at night, we begin to wonder, we begin to watch, we begin to wait. And so did that person long ago who made the Psalms, who wrote the Psalms, who sang the Psalms. And so should us, we, the church. As a people, we are called to praise God with all of our being. And that is our purpose. That is our call. In praising God, we are doing the work of God. And so let's do that work today. Are you ready for it? I told you, I've got 11 points I want to make. You heard that? 11 points. But don't worry about it. Just get lost in the words. Get lost in the wonder of God's creation. One, praise is an act of worship with its own reasons of the heart. Praise bears witness to the premise that life does not consist of, and young people hear this maybe even more clearly, life does not consist of achievement control or objectivity. The root of life lies in the realities that are pre-rational. In other words, they partake of the mystery and the gift and the amazement of all that is around us. Life is not to be mastered like a technique, but life partakes in a mystery that we call sacrament. We experience that at the Lord's table. We experience that in baptism. Two, praise is a poetic act. The church speaks in poetry. The church speaks in song that is evocative, that is resistant to closed meanings, to boiling things down to just cliff notes. Praise is not reductionist, but expansive. In other words, praise is freedom. Praise is deeply opposed, and I'm preaching this to myself right now, praise is deeply opposed to text messages. Because text messages reduce, minimize, routinize, and seek to control and to make life a cookbook, a bunch of instructions. Ifs are great words, aren't they? If we eventually become the way that we talk, if reality sooner or later follows our speech, then the utterance of doxology may eventually wean us away from our text-shaped mastery that resists every ambiguity, because speech without ambiguity has no power to heal or to transform. Doxology, we're going to sing it later. Doxology creates imaginative space in which ambiguity may open to God's alternative way, the peaceable kingdom. Three, praise is an audacious act. Choir members, you're involved in praise every single week. That's called being audacious in your disciplines. And Israel is audacious enough. Why are they audacious? They're audacious enough to take upon speaking to the very throne of God. This is bold, folks. Librarians, no offense to any librarians who are out there, but librarians would tell us what? Shh. But Israel models for us audacious praise, and to what? To make a joyful noise. In making a joyful noise, our relationship with God changes for God. For God is pleased and honored and glorified and blessed. God is made bigger. God is made more powerful. When we sing praise, our relationship with God is celebrated. And we can dare to imagine our relationship with God, it's improved upon. That's some good news. Four, praise is a basic act of trust. Praise is like baseball. You got to keep it simple. Praise is a basic act of trust. Is unqualified. It's an unqualified sense of buoyancy and stability and knowing that God is reliable, that you can turn to God. Praise establishes the basic trust between God and human beings, like basic trust that's created between a baby and a mother, a baby and a father. The basic trust enacted through worship arises when we realize that God is reliable. Five, Praise is thus a knowing act. Don't let that scare you. We know that God responds to our needs. You hear this throughout the scriptures. It is interesting. A scholar did an analysis of the hymns and the psalms, and he found in general that praise is characteristically the conclusion of a plea, a cry out for help. What concludes in praise does not begin in praise. It begins rather in hurt, in rage, in need, in indignation, in isolation and abandonment. Israel's first speech is not a speech of wonder. Israel's first speech is of deep need, of crying out. Israel's primal utterance is of complaint and insistent protest. It is crying out, recognizing your needs, recognizing those places where you fall short. And in this act of self-definition, of sharing where we fall short, we find that we can be intimate with God, that it's possible, that God can be addressed, intruded upon, God can be put at risk, that God can even change. The lament that we hear in the Bible, it acts noticing and calls out to God, saying, God, remember me. God, pay attention to me. And it has the courage to name this to God's face. Now that is audacious, folks. The basic trust is not arrived at by resignation, by putting your heads down, by being passive, blindly accepting that, oh, this is my fate, I must suffer, but by testing and demanding God's protection and God's care. The moment of the turn from plea to praise is the moment when God is brought to a new faithfulness. It takes the risking of oneself to name where one falls short to establish, to recognize how God is so faithful to us. 6. Praise is the ultimate act of protest. Again, young people who are out there, praise is protest. It gladly cedes all life over in gratitude to God. Having fought and struggled, one can empty oneself and through praise fill oneself up with the good things in life. When we praise God authentically, when we sing our hymns, what are we doing? We're emptying ourselves of all of our worries, all of our concerns, all of our laments, and allowing God to speak through us, knowing that in the blessings of life, all things flow, that God flows. 7. Praise is a critique of every ideology, every claim of truth that moves away from the will and the purposes of God. There are so many isms in the world, and I think we've got more isms right now than I've ever heard in my whole life. I'm about 50 years old now. There are more isms on the news right now. It's driving me crazy. And these isms are trying to make a claim on who I am and who God is. These isms, they want our loyalty and they chase after our life commitments. Consumerism, militarism, ageism, racism, sexism, capitalism, all these isms. I'll have enough of the isms. I just want to praise God. Praise is a dismissal of every such claim, both right and left, as well as complacent center. Doxology, praise, invites us into dangerous communion. It demands that we listen to God's heart. 8. It follows then that praise is inevitably a political act. For it concerns authority, power, loyalty, and the right to define the reality as we see it. The church, I must say, has a long history of wanting to imagine that the church is a compartmentalized act, that it's a standalone thing that you do only on Sundays. It doesn't touch upon the economic or the political or the public realities. Escapist liturgy imagines God talk to be kept from the realities of the power? How many people have you heard going out the line say to the preacher, "Preacher, you should stick to religion and stay out of economics and politics"? How many times have you heard that around a, you know, picnic table? "Oh, our preacher should stay away from talking about politics." This is impossible. The prophets of Israel, they knew that the character of God is intimately and unavoidably linked to a passion for our well-being, communal justice, human dignity, and the health of our world and creation. One cannot speak of this God, even in doxology, without speaking about the public agenda for God's world. Wherever God is praised, God's agenda spills over into the community and the words of the community, the words of our public life. As Presbyterians, you are each called to live out your passions and to praise God out in the world, out beyond these doors. 9. We're getting close, folks. 9. This act of praise being a political act is ultimately a subversive act. Martin Buber, a wonderful Jewish writer, said that miracles express abiding astonishment. Abiding astonishment. In other words, miracles celebrate and claim purposes to which the world judges to be impossible. Praise asserts that new realities can emerge around the powers of God, that can emerge around the people of God. For example, when we sing of Yahweh as the lover of justice and peace and freedom, we subvert all power relations that depend upon injustice, hostility, and bondage. When we praise God, when we sing our doxology, it is a breath of fresh life, a new break of day, a new possibility, a resurrection living, allowing life to be recognized in utterly liberating ways. New life begins from doxology moving out to every sphere of life. 10. Praise as a political and subversive act is in the end, an evangelical act. Praise is an act of good news. Let me hear an amen.
Amen.
It is an act of glad obedience. Let me hear an amen.
Amen.
It is a symbol and sign of good tidings of great joy. Let me hear an amen.
Amen.
There are still places in this world, right around the corner probably from us, and all the way across the world, where this great news has not been heard. And so we are called in our praise to humbly be evangelical, to share this gift with others. 11. In the end, according to many scholars, praise is, get ready for this, and it might seem contradictory, but that's okay. Praise is a useless act. Praise is a useless act. It aims at nothing. It leads to nothing. It intends nothing. It requires nothing. It is not a means and an ends in itself, intending nothing other than its own actions. In the end, we are able to see that our true end is to glorify and enjoy God. Praise is simply an act of communion, of extravagant homecoming, where we come down to where we ought to be. Communion through praise is our common purpose of life. So, after hearing those 11 points, let's go forth as a people called to praise the Lord. Let us go forth and wonder. Let us go forth and watch. Let us go forth and wait. And all the while, let us praise the Lord our God who abides with us in the Son Jesus Christ, always leading us through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.